It is finally upon us. Baseball season has arrived, friends, and we are ready for first pitch, for the first at-bat, for the first strikeout, the first home run, the first controversial call because of the pitch clock here on the Sports Cubicle with the Marvelous One, Dan Marber, Devin Single, Paul Shavari, and myself, Mike Mercado. We appreciate you making us a part of your day as baseball has finally arrived. I am here with the expert, the guru himself, Paul Shavari, to make our predictions, to break down to preview this 2023 campaign in Major League Baseball, coming off the coattails of an amazing World Baseball Classic, and the fact that we have made it to this moment is really exciting. Paulie, how are you? Welcome in. Happy opening day, my friend.
Happy opening day. It's crazy how quickly it came upon us, but I think the World Baseball Classic was a nice distraction, and March got through quickly, and here we are. We are ready for regular season baseball.
It's crazy how fast it seemed to go with all the sports we had because of the push pandemics and what was the World Cup a crazy thing because of the location. It seemed like we got here really fast. And because the NFL and the NBA never sleep and Major League Baseball had such a crazy offseason, it felt like April just got here really fast. And that is an exciting time. I feel like people are excited to watch baseball this season to kind of see how the sport evolves. And it kind of got me to this point. Before we get to your actual predictions, your picks, who's going to win the MVP, the Cy Young, and all that fun stuff, including your World Series winner, what's the most interesting story going into the 2023 MLB season for you, Paul Shavari?
I think it's all the new rule changes. You know, you mentioned at the top, the pitch clock, you know, the shift, but even, you know, there's a playoff format that was debuted last year. The schedule is different this year. You know, if you're a fan of Major League Baseball and, you know, let's say you live in a city and you have an American League team in your city, you don't see too many National League teams. Maybe you want to see the Giants or the Dodgers come through. Well, this time you'll get that chance because now every other year you're guaranteed that one of any Major League Baseball team will come to your hometown because, you know, in the schedule now all 30 teams play each other. So I think that will provide a little bit of interest in terms of how the schedule is now balanced out in terms of the results, you know, the standings, you know, the wins, losses, that sort of thing. But also I think just the competition level, I think that's how you help grow the game. You know, we talk about how regional the sport is. Here's a way to help make it national because now you have more superstars coming into your hometown that you might not have gotten to see, you know, more than once every 3 years.
So then with that being in mind, because I agree with you, I think there's so much intrigue with the new schedule, the way it plays out, the new rules being put into it, and kind of to see how the next generation of baseball fan accepts how this new baseball looks and how the old generation really accepts and kind of tries to adapt into what is a new world in the sport of baseball. But that's what's intriguing you when it comes to storylines and what the Hollywood side of sports is. But there's actual baseball that needs to be played this season. And we're going to get to the North and South side in just a second. But what team interests you the most? Not the storyline, but we saw storylines kind of play into it with Steve Cohen and the whole idea of how much money should be spent on these free agents and building these rosters and everything that's happening in San Diego. And I wonder where you're at on who's the most interesting team in Major League Baseball? We just came off of Shohei and Mike Trout stealing everybody's hearts, but the Angels aren't going to be on that list for you. So what team interests you the most, whether it is because they have World Series aspirations or it's just going to be so entertaining to see what happens on that clubhouse?
If I got to pick one team, I would say San Diego, just because of Mount Crushmore, you know, how much talent they've got, what they're building towards. So I think, you know, they're going to be the most fun to watch. And especially the, you know, Padres Dodgers, you know, continues to be, you know, a manufactured rivalry, but also a geographic rivalry that could always be entertaining this year to see who battles it out for the West. You know, but I like a lot of different teams and storylines. You know, the Mets, I think, are always going to be an interesting team because how desperate they are to win a championship, whether they have the right personnel to do that. You know, I think they're always going to be an interesting team to watch. I like the Seattle Mariners. You know, I think they're fun. You know, they could be a team that could excite this year. As always, I think the White Sox, you know, and I try not to look at it through like the biased local lens of following them, but you know, where are they going this year? I think a lot of people are looking at them, you know, are they a team that has a lot of talent that hasn't matured yet, or are they a team that, you know what, you just got to blow it up and start over because this iteration of them didn't work. You know, and then of course, you know, I think Yankees, Orioles, you know, anybody like mid-tier in the East, you know, even though Yankees, Blue Jays should probably be some of the better teams. I think whoever's like second through fourth in the American League East is going to be an interesting team this year.
Do you see this season being one where we look back at how crazy competitive it was? Or is it going to be one where there are teams that just really put themselves far and between their competitors? I obviously, behind the fourth wall, I got the cheat sheet. I know how some of these records play out in your mind, but in all, when we look back at the story that was the 2023 season, when we look at what's the most intriguing storylines and the intriguing teams, what do you think the season plays out? Do you feel like it's going to be a competitive season? Do you feel like it's going to be a hot season? Or do you feel like it's going to be, for lack of a better word, a boring season because there are just head and shoulder better teams? Where do you fall when it comes to how this season plays out on that aspect, on that type of line?
I think you still have the you know, the ecology of baseball where there's, you know, the bigger teams and the smaller teams. You know, it seems like, and you saw my predictions, a lot of the usual suspects, you know, the behemoths, the Houstons, the Yankees, the Atlanta Braves, you know, and anyone who can win the East out of, you know, Atlanta, Philly, New York, you know, St. Louis, you know, San Diego, LA, you know, it's a lot of usual suspects. And then, you know, I don't know if I want to use the word rebuild per se, but of course there's always going to be teams kind of at the bottom trying to cycle their way back into competition or rebuild, you know, however they're going to do it. I think we're at a different era right now in baseball too, where teams are finding newer ways to try and get back in the success column, you know, or survive in a case like I think Oakland is just a team that can only survive at this point until they move to Las Vegas or wherever they're going to go. But yeah, you're always going to have the bottom tier teams that are struggling, your Cincinnati's, your Oakland's, Washington's, you know, rebuilding. And then, you know, you're always going to have your big dog teams, like, which right now I think we're in an era where the Houston Astros are just, you know, a phenomenal baseball team. The Atlanta Braves continue to win one of the toughest divisions in baseball year after year. The St. Louis Cardinals are kind of the darlings of the Midwest, you know, so you're always going to have certain teams that are great. You know, and it's not always those teams that might cycle into like another four or five in the next few years. You know, your San Diegos or whoever are going to be consistently at the top, but you always have the big dogs and the little dogs. So I think it's a lot of the same. I think when people look at it, they're not really going to think of how boring or interesting any pennant races or division races are. I think, you know, playoffs is probably what they're trying to do. The format with the pitch clock and how they move games quicker and how the playoffs are and how a lot of teams can qualify as seven on each side. I think, you know, when you look at that, there's six on each side. And when you look at that, you know, it's like a lot of cities, a lot of fan bases are still interested in it. So I think it's going to be a typical season. I think when it's said and done, you know, going into spring, we're talking about how, oh gosh, how am I going to like this? You know, it's going to be a different game, the pitch clock, the, you know, like guys that maybe casually watch it that miss the days of no DH, you know. It's going to look a lot different in that regard. But I think when it's all said and done, you look at the box scores and the standings and, you know, who won, and you look at the story of the season, it'll look like a Major League Baseball season.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is going to be the year of the new rule changes, seeing if new stars are made, seeing who kind of takes the baton of the generation that's heading towards being the old veteran, the old dogs, the Bryce Harpers and the Manny Machados, the Mike Trouts, these young cats that are now becoming old cats, even though they're still young cats. And we'll see these new up and comers coming out on top of how baseball is changing. I'm excited about that. I think people are going to be really excited about baseball in the city of Chicago. We'll get to 35th and Shields and Clark and Addison in just a second. There's optimism, there's skepticism in both sides on both teams. And I think that makes it interesting on a major market like Chicago, a major market like New York, a major market like Los Angeles, Houston. Like, these are places where people are interested in the teams right now. We'll see what happens with Miami in a division that has Philadelphia, Atlanta, and New York. Like, there, I think this is going to be a time where it's no offense, but it's not the Kansas City Royals or the Oakland Athletics. These are major markets that are going to be competitive with superstars already coming off of a hot offseason, a hot spring training.
You bring up Miami, that they're in win now mode, whether they have the right personnel on paper, but mm-hmm. It's interesting getting, didn't they get Gene Segura and, to round out some of the guys that they already have, they got the reigning Cy Young Award winner. I think the reigning AL batting champion, after trading for Luis Urias. So they're going to be a fun team to watch too, but yeah, how are they going to compete with, a stacked Atlanta Braves team? A win now mode New York Mets team that has two Hall of Fame pitchers on their roster. Philadelphia, who's got the injury losses of Rhys Hoskins and Bryce Harper, and they still look like a great team on paper. So, and some of the best pitching in that division. So, yeah, I don't know how any team gets out of the NL East. That's, Washington, I think, is just going to chalk it up to building their core, build for some good draft picks, whatever, That's where they are, but Miami is in a tough position where, they could surprise, they could try and sneak in there, get a playoff win, or playoff appearance. I doubt they're going to win the division, but at the same time, they might really mess up that division. And, we might get an interesting outcome because of the fact that there's four really competitive teams there.
Well, why don't we get into 35th and Shields, Clark and Edison, and the rest of Major League Baseball? I do see your predictions. I do see your win totals. I'm excited to break down kind of your overall ideas of how you got to this general place. But I'm going to run down these so the folks have it. And, of course, we'll post a screenshot of this over on Sports Cubicle TV on Twitter. The Paulacious One, Paul Shavari, joining me, Mike Mercado, here on the Sports Cubicle. Devin Tingle and the Marvelous One, Dan Marbert, throughout the entire show as we preview and predict the 2023 Major League Baseball season. It is an exciting time here in Chicago, and I think an exciting time for the sport in the AL East. This is an amazing division, an amazing outcome, I think, for a lot of people. Paulacious has Toronto at 93-69, tied with the New York Yankees at 93-69, on top of the division. Tampa Bay, Baltimore, and Boston bottom out. Tampa Bay above 584. You can see the exact totals on social media if you want to maybe make a bet or two, if legally and do responsibly. Check it out. Paulie's always on point with a lot of these. The AL Central, he has Cleveland at 91 wins, winning the division. Second place, Minnesota. Chicago in third, a decent record at 85-77. We'll talk about that in just a second. Kansas City and Detroit round out the AL Central. In the AL West, Houston, once again, heading to the playoffs, 95-67. A hell of a record, it seems like, in season for Seattle at 91-71. Texas at 84-78. We'll see how they feel about that big contract they gave to the Ground after that. The LA Angels, 82-80. How will that impact the sale? Maybe Marty Moreno might be selling the team. Maybe not. We'll see. It's been up and down the entire season. And the poor Oakland A's, 65-97. We run really fast to the NL East. Atlanta at 99 wins. What a season. What a team. The Phillies, 91-71. Then the Mets at 88 wins. We'll talk about that maybe. Miami, 82. Washington finishes off. I wanted to just say those records because the NL East is going to be a fight. The NL Central, St. Louis at 87 wins the division. Then you have Milwaukee, Chicago, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati. Finally, in the NL West, San Diego at 95 wins overtakes the LA Dodgers, Arizona in third, San Francisco, and Colorado finish out the NL West. So, Paulie, I need to know, how did you come to the outcomes for both the White Sox and the Cubs? I think they're both teams that there's so many different ways this season could play out for both teams. But how did you end up where you did for both the Cubs and White Sox? And what other division race or division winner kind of piqued you or interest you the most at this point heading into the 2023 season?
The division winners seem kind of standard. I mean, I think the Toronto, New York, I think Blue Jays will just end up winning on the tiebreaker. Could be a fun fight between the two of them all season. I had the Cubs at 77-85, and I felt, even though there's a slight regression from where they were last year, or maybe it was about the same, I don't remember their exact record, but they should improve this year, but I think it's a lot of the same with them. I just don't think there's a lot of question marks, a lot of things have to go right. in order for the Cubs to be a really good team. And I think when, you know, with a lot of veterans, guys trying to prove themselves, I think as the season wears on and you're going to see like, okay, they're cycling in so many different guys, they haven't really formed a chemistry, that by the end of the season, it's kind of going to be like give up mode. You know, it's they're going to fall a little short, fall out of the race. You know, like you see St. Louis winning the division with 87 wins. So, I mean, yeah, they could be competitive and kind of in it. But I think when it's all said and done, I think kind of come up short. But I think this is the year you're going to figure out, you know, whoever's on the 2024 Cubs, which should be a better team than the 2023 Cubs. You're going to start seeing some of those guys come out this year that are going to be, you know, part of that core in the future. You know, maybe even a big trade this year, maybe, you know, or maybe you do see Cody Bellinger break out and they give him a longer deal. You know, there's a lot that could happen, but I think ultimately it's just top to bottom, an incomplete roster in my eyes.
My biggest issue with the Cubs this season, I have put a wager, a small allowance on them to win the NL Central. That's more along the lines of I don't believe the NL Central is all that great. I think St. Louis is a system. So just inherently you can.
But I'm sure you got some decent odds for a fun play.
Yeah, yeah. They're the third favorite, quote unquote, the third odds to win the NL Central. Like it's clear cut who 1, 2, and 3 really are when you think about it in the NL Central. And then the Cubs have like the pits.
The last couple of years, I think we've predicted it that way. I think I remember last year for sure. I had the exact order. I mean, since it's pretty obvious the strength of each of those teams in the division, and it's just unfortunate because I think, you know, Milwaukee should have been a little bit more competitive than St. Louis over the last few years, you know, and then the Cubs, you know, it's you know, we said it after they started trading away, you know, Baez and Bryant, Rizzo and all them, you know, they never really supplemented it in a way where it's like, I think the Cubs are a couple of superstar players away from being a competitive team in this division, you know,
which is why,
you know, I think every year you have the optimism, but at the same time, oh, what's up? Devin's here.
Yeah, Devin just walked in for all the video watchers here. I wanted, before you go too far in your thoughts, though, I think for the Cubs, the big thing for me is their lineup is what scares me. I do think they have a lot of depth, a lot of young arms. I think they have arms that could go either way. So I don't think the problem is going to be that they didn't have talents pitching. I think my big issue for the Cubs is going to be they have a lineup that can go 2-3 weeks of just absolute zeros on the sheets every time they do a scorecard update. Like, that's what scares me off this team. This team can win, be a 500 team, can win 82, 83 games. The problem is there's going to be weeks that they absolutely do nothing on the bats because of a lot of guys on prove-it contracts, a lot of guys that aren't going to be part of this roster in a few years. And that's, if you're looking for the best and worst case scenario for the Cubs, it's going to come down to that. You know that they're going to have a lot of arms. They're going to have guys that they can trade. I think Cody Bellinger, whether they make the postseason or not, is off this roster come trade deadline. Because if he's anywhere of a useful asset, they're going to trade him because they're not going to pay him next season, I don't think. So I don't think
if he breaks out, I don't think they're going to – that's where the money's going to go.
Exactly.
I'm with you on that, you know.
So let's get to the White Sox. That was just my Cubs. That was just my Cubs thing. I wanted to throw it out there. I want to get to your White Sox thing here. And then in a little bit, we'll throw it to Devin for some baseball talk. But let's go ahead and finish up your division winners and your White Sox point of view of how you saw them break out this season.
You know, so, San Diego over the Dodgers. I just think, you know, Mount Rushmore, way more interesting. You know, Dodgers aren't getting any younger. Always seem to have pitching injuries. I think, you know, no Walker Buehler. You know, so that's why I lean San Diego on that. Houston, you know, it's like I wanted Seattle to win this division, but when you look at Houston, they didn't really miss a beat after Justin Verlander went away. So I, you know, and then they have Jose Abreu, so like they've improved at first base as well. So I mean, it's hard to pick against the Astros right now, but it's going to be a harder division. Texas got better. Angels are always trying to prove themselves, and Seattle's built to win right now. But I think it's, you know, it's kind of like the Atlanta Braves where it's like, you got to prove it to me that that you can't win this division before I start picking against you. And those are kind of safe bets, I think, you know, because they're the old standard, you know, the Astros in the West, the Braves in the East. Cleveland, I just think they're stronger pitching top to bottom, starting pitching and bullpen compared to Minnesota. And I think there's some exciting young players there. I think that covered all of my division winners. As for the White Sox, 85 wins. They're clearly going to be good. They have great players. They might be able to obtain a great player in a contract year at the trade deadline if they're competitive. The problem is I think there's a lot of what ifs on this roster, a lot of injury, usual injuries like, Yoan Moncada always seems to find a way on the injured list, Luis Robert, not to mention all of the pitching, Lance Lynn's not getting any younger. Lucas Giolito hasn't really shown flashes of the pitcher he was in 2020 after that season. Dylan Cease, how long is he going to be one of the top pitchers in the league? He's got great stuff, but, an injury or the league figuring him out or any sort of regression in his pitches or whatever, or if he doesn't create a new pitch, could be a factor in him no longer being one of the top pitchers in the league. Mike Clevinger has not looked impressive in spring training. I know that's, hard to really get a firm judgment on that, but he's been a shell of himself since about 2019 or so. So there's a lot of what ifs with the White Sox. And I think like while it's a competitive team and a strong enough team to get wins and being above 500 team, I just think Cleveland and Minnesota are better. I think the American League is a buzzsaw. And I think there's probably, I don't remember the exact number, but there's probably about 14 teams better in Major League Baseball than the White Sox, and they're going to see all of them this year.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Sports Cubicle TV. We'll have a screenshot, all of the predictions Paul made, every division winner, and how the entire division will break out. And what we're about to get to in a second, all the winners of the awards coming up this season. Paulie has broken down how it would go from first, second, and third. So that's it. It's really cool. If you guys want to check it out, maybe put a couple of bucks on allowance, do it responsibly. We suggest that Paul knows a thing or two about baseball. Here on the Sports Cubicle, Devin Tingle, Paul Shivari, the marvelous one, Dan Marver, and myself, Mike Mercado. We'll run by this really fast, and you can kind of give us an idea of why you went this direction. Your AL MVP, Shohei Ohtani. We'll find out if that's a make good or if it's something that he just is undeniable this coming up season. Your NL MVP.
I'm always going to pick Shohei Ohtani as, my preseason AL MVP because, as long as he's healthy, he's got it in the bag. But if you look at my AL Cy Young Award winner, that I think speaks to a little bit more of the story of why I think it happens this year.
Well, Juan Soto's going to win your NL MVP. We love the kid. My dream is he's a Cub, but regardless, one of the best young players in baseball trying to get a contract. But your AL Cy Young winner is?
Shohei Ohtani. And while he hasn't been the best pitcher in the American League the last 2 years, he's been one of the best pitchers in the American League the last 2 years. And you saw what he was throwing to Mike Trout in the World Baseball Classic. I think, it doesn't matter how good or bad the Angels are and what the record is. If Ohtani can put together a good 26 starts like that this season or go 30-33 starts like that this season, how can you not pick him to be the best, best pitcher in the league? And that's, couple that with he's going to have a strong offensive season. And if he's the best pitcher in the American League, of course he'd be the American League MVP. So that's always going to be a favorite of mine,
Talk to me about your NL Cy Young.
Max Fried, this was hard because I really wanted to lean Aaron Nola. I think Nola has the better swing and miss stuff. Philadelphia is a good team. I was leaning Nola, but I thought, Max Fried is kind of establishing himself as an ace of a really good team. So I just lean that way. Honestly, I think you could pick Nola, Fried. I had Verlander on there because, he's been good in recent memory, and now he's in the National League for the first time. So I think that could be interesting that he could really establish himself right away as one of the better pitchers in the National League. But I went with Max Fried. I think just because Atlanta is going to be a good team this year.
A little bit of a spoiler for maybe what you think this postseason will work itself out to. Dusty Baker and Bob Melvin will be your managers of the year. Really fast, though, we'll get to them in a second because we'll talk World Series and stuff between the three of us in a little bit. But really fast, Paulie, AL and NL rookies, who you got?
Gunnar Henderson for the American League from Baltimore and Corbin Carroll from the Diamondbacks in the National League. I just figure with Carroll, the Diamondbacks are putting all that money on him. He's going to get playing time. All he has to do is put together a pretty consistent season. You don't have to have a great season to be NL Rookie of the Year. You just have to be the best rookie. So I think Carroll's just got the edge there. But I did put Jordan Walker. He's looking to establish himself with the Cardinals. 20 years old, has been raking. And then Miguel Vargas, who's supposed to get some playing time with LA, especially with Gavin Lux being down. As far as Gunnar Henderson, I'm not sure where he fits with Baltimore, if he's going to be day-to-day third baseman. But you know, another edge for him there. But Grayson Rodriguez, his teammate in Baltimore, it's going to be a fun pitcher to watch. He's got some great killer stuff, just great starting pitcher. And then Josh Young is supposed to have improved too. So, you know, we'll see if he fits in with Texas this year.
So we have about 7 minutes left of our preview, our predictions of the 2023 Major League Baseball season here on the Sports Cubicle with the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, Devin Tingle, Paul Chavarri, myself, Mike Mercado. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Sports Cubicle TV to see all the predictions out there and make sure you can see if we're right or wrong come this October. I'm going to let Paulie take a few seconds to have himself a nice little brewski, get himself his vocal cords fixed. We're going to make predictions of this playoff coming up in October. But before we get to that, Devin, really fast, talk to me. How do you feel about the White Sox heading into the season? Do you think they have a legitimate shot of winning the AL Central? Are you excited as a White Sox fan?
I think my answer to all three of those is, and that is just kind of where I'm at right now here. I mean, this team has potential, but this team had potential last year. They have potential in 2021. They had potential in 2020. And with the exception of 2020 and 2021, and really mostly 2022 being the season that was just abysmal and nauseating, I think me and Paul had to share a giant bottle of Pepto-Bismol to prevent ourselves from throwing up all the time for how nauseous we got here. So it's very hard to say I'm excited about this. I mean, I'm excited because I like baseball, but I might be watching more. I might be watching Yankees or Padres games instead of the White Sox right now, just seeing some better baseball here with other teams that I do enjoy see playing here. But I mean, it'll be very interesting to see. The team looks like everyone's healthy right now. We have a manager who is, you know, younger than my grandpa, so that's always a nice set. Actually, Tony La Russa was younger than my grandpa. That's a terrible point.
But even then, close.
That's still around. Yeah. But just it's going to be interesting to see here because, you know, we saw Tim Anderson, who you're right, Paul. They did actually call Tim Anderson America's second baseman, but I'm like, no. In my heart, he's America's shortstop. Take it away.
Back to being a shortstop, unless Elvis Andrews takes playing time from him.
We did discuss this, you know. We did discuss this. Just throw him a second, whatever. We'll figure this out here. But it's gonna be nice to just kind of see, you know, baseball back. I always enjoy going to a baseball game, so I'm definitely down for some, you know, $7 tickets when the season's finally over, as Paul and I know all too well about here. But to say like I'm excited and have high hopes for the White Sox, I'm just hoping they finish above 500. I mean, I say it's like a C or a B goal here, but that should not be what you're like. I just hope my team doesn't take last place. That's pretty sad. We're not Oakland Athletics fans here.
We'll be making sure it's going to be a fun Sunday every time Paulie and Devin get to break down the week that was White Sox baseball over on 35th and Shields. But it is time to make our predictions. We have finally made it. The games matter. They count. You thought the WBC was huge. We'll see what happens when these major markets on the West Coast, on the East Coast, and here in the Midwest are all competing for the Commissioner's Trophy, for the pennants, for the World Series. It is going to be a fun season, and we make our predictions now. I will start with Paulie, the expert, the guru. How does this all shake out? What is the National League Championship Series? What is your American League Championship Series? What is your World Series? Who wins the World Series?
All right, so the Padres will beat the Braves in the NLCS. The Astros will beat the Guardians in the ALCS. And the Astros will be the first repeat champion since, what, the Yankees in 99 and 2000? And they'll beat the Padres in all seven, four games to three.
What a wonderful matchup.
Jordan will be the MVP.
Say that one more time.
Yordan Alvarez, MVP.
That's going to be a fun series. That's going to be a heck of a matchup if it works out that way. And that means that right teams kind of made the run at the end of it. So I'm excited for that one. Astros, Padres, the Astros win in seven, repeating for the first time since the Yankees in the 90s. Wow, Paulie going out there. Devin, I'll throw it to you. Obviously, Paulie's actually done some real homework, some mathematics. He went into the lab and he got in trouble with our bosses because he was hanging out in the basement of the Sports Cubicle. He shouldn't be doing that. But what do you think is the World Series? How do you think we get there? Who wins this year's Commissioner's Trophy?
Oh, while Paul was in the, you know, the lab, I was in the freezer. Thanks for locking me in there, by the way. I do kind of sort of agree with Paul a little bit here, although my ALCS is going to be the Astros versus the Yankees, with the Yankees taking the win there, Paul. Wow. And I do also agree that the Padres are going to go to the World Series. And I think it's going to be the Padres over the Yankees in seven. And I hate to say this word because I can't friggin' stand the guy because he's San Diego's Dennis Rodman, but I think Machado gets MVP.
That's a heck.
That makes me nauseous to say.
That's a heck of a prediction.
That'd be a fun World Series.
Yeah, I think I am. It's tough because I think San Diego makes the most sense. And I'm going to go San Diego. But I can just see this being one of these years where whoever survives the National League East is just going to be so good. And if these old veteran arms in Verlander and Scherzer hold up in New York, they're a tough out. So is Atlanta, which makes me think that the Padres are just going to have an easier road. They're going to host a lot of games and it's going to be a lot of travel. And I think they're going to come out of the National League. And in the American League, you look at the AL East, and at the end of it, I don't think that they're the division that's going to come with it. I like Cleveland, but it's all coming back down to Houston. Until proven otherwise, Houston is the team to beat in Major League Baseball. Until Patrick Mahomes is gone from the Kansas City Chiefs, as the Lord is all witness and the baseball gods, you got to go with Houston representing the American League. And in that case, I'm with Paul. The Houston Astros are going to beat the San Diego Padres in five games, and the Astros repeat as World Series champions. Wow. What? Go ahead, buddy.
Oh, I was saying, just wow. That's yeah. I mean, they're Houston. It's Houston, and then the rest of the American League.
Yeah.
And until someone from the American League proves otherwise. But I like how Devin's going with the Yankees this year. It's like that's the first team you'd think of to try and finally topple the Astros, but they've had their problems. But if the Astros win this World Series, they will have achieved as many World Series titles as both the Cubs and the White Sox.
That's unbelievable.
In the time since the Cubs won their third World Series.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. That is unbelievable. And we hope you enjoyed our predictions for the 2023 Major League Baseball season. Another year, boys, that we get to enjoy some summertime, America's pastime, and actually some excitement, some expectations, and at the very least, some good contact if both teams suck. So I think it's all good news for us here on the Sports Cubicle. We want to know your thoughts. How do you think each division breaks out? How do you think the World Series shakes out? Who wins the big thing at the end of October? We're on Twitter at Sports Cubicle TV. We're the Marvelous One, Dan Marver. For Devin Single, for Paul Shavari, I'm Mike Mercado.